Peace Officer Day today on the talk show. We've got Kevin Glendenning. He is the Sheriff of Des Moines County. He is joining me today. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
And we've also got Jason Marlowe. He is the Chief Information Officer for the Iowa State Patrol in this district. He is joining me today. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Steve.
We also have Sergeant Chad Zahn from the Burlington Police Department. He has been an officer for 28 years. And he is joining us as a representative of the Burlington Police Department. We were just talking before we went on. I was talking with Chad and with Jason about new laws. And not a lot of new laws, but one of them is these four wheels. They're UTVs, I guess is what we call them. Is that right, Jason? Is that what those are called?
Yeah, side-by-sides is probably the more familiar term that many people have seen and maybe even purchased. And a lot of our rural areas, including here in southeast Iowa, have created countywide ordinances for them already. So I don't think you'll see a lot of changes from that standpoint. For those counties that did not or have not created things, I think you'll see an increase in their popularity and their use pretty much on all of our roadways in Iowa. It's going to restrict them from divided four-lane roadways, clearly
right. The
interstate system, things of that nature. And then as Sergeant Zahn will mention, I'm sure there will be restrictions potentially with certain cities and things of that sort. But for the most part, a lot more opportunity to see those and use those vehicles on the roadways. There's some classifications that will apply unless there's differences in those county ordinances. 18 years of age, properly licensed driver. You must have proof of insurance like you would with a car or pickup truck. And probably the biggest one that I have concerns with are the limits on speeds, 35 miles an hour. It is my understanding, and I have probably seen some of these firsthand as well, a lot of those side-by-sides are more than capable of exceeding 35 miles per hour. So that might be the biggest challenge as it relates to the law enforcement side.
I know there was a proposal and there was a proposed bill to eliminate handheld cell phones and only hands-free cell phones. I don't know. Did that ever go through? Did it not go through?
Not in this legislative session. I know that it continues to get some talk and maybe even some traction from time to time as other states have gone that route. But Iowa did not get that done this year.
Okay. Anyway, we're talking about anything and everything it has to do with law enforcement. And again, it is one of the other things we were talking about before we went on is incredible speeds. We're talking about there was a representative, in fact, it was on Radio Iowa on the 5th of July talking about speeds and the number of tickets written for over 100 miles an hour coming back on the 4th of July. We talked about this during the pandemic, Jason, but the fact that we had such incredible speeds and now there's the less, but traffic's a lot heavier now than it was during the pandemic, and the speeds are still high.
Yeah, and that's a great concern. I think you can also see that translate over into, unfortunately, our traffic fatality rate, which also continues to increase over the last five-year average. So some of those things are, you know, have a direct relationship for sure. I know the State Patrol was pretty busy over the weekend, and I had those numbers in front of me. I think we made, you know, like 4,100 traffic stops, and of those 4,100 across the state, 2,100 were for speeding. So, you know, more than 50% of them are the violations that we continue to see, you know, day in and day out.
Okay, and we've got speeds. Kevin, are speeds up here in the county just like they are every place else?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw that during the pandemic, but it's back down to, I guess, those normal levels, although some of those speeds aren't really what we'd call normal. The biggest thing is, you know, accidents happen. There's distracted driving. Speeds are the contributor. When you have an accident and speeds get really high, that's when the fatalities and the really serious injuries happen. That's when we see those serious accidents occur.
All right. This is, It was a bloody 4th of July. It has been a bloody first half of the year. We have had more mass murders. We've had more of these insane shooters. The 4th of July one in Highland Park, we've been through the area. It's a lovely, affluent, northern Chicago suburb, and to have, to have someone just simply stand on the top of a roof and fire. I'm telling you, I heard the sound of that. The only sound I can hear comparison is in a wartime movie with a machine gun. And this was, I mean, this was an AR-15. This would be apparently, now I don't know if this AR-15 had been modified to be fully automatic or not, but I don't know if it makes any difference. Violence seems to be everywhere. There's more violence now than we have had. Do you have any idea? Is it copycats? Is that what it is, Kevin?
If you want my true answer, I think the big thing is just we're stopping engaging with our youth. We're not getting them to find value in life and other things. They have purpose to let them have focus on their future, to have these future goals. When people don't value their own life, they don't value others. And I think the biggest thing is to engage our youth, both as parents, as society, as just people who care, to get them involved in things, to help them build these goals. I don't think that we can do things to have an impact on these acts. We can prepare, we can do things as law enforcement and as communities, but we're never going to be able to legislate evil away. What we need to do is try to get to the root of this and try to really work with our youth and young adults, and that's where these acts tend to come from. But we need to engage them, get them probably out away from electronics, away from all the violence that they can see on video games, on TV, and get them to have goals of their own so that they value life.
Well, we've talked a lot about mental health issues, and the fact is we've got we changed a lot of laws. We changed some laws here a few years ago, went to community-based mental health, and the fact is that there's just isn't any, there really isn't any beds or isn't any real help for community-based. I know that both of the departments, I know that the Burlington Police Department, Des Moines County Sheriff's Office, and I don't know if you have a mental health division or policy or anything like that, Jason, or not. Is there mental health issues that you deal with the department?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we've seen or I've seen in my career is just the training for the officers and the understanding of maybe what they're dealing with at the time. You know, we used to make assumptions about levels of impairment from intoxication to drug use, and that's not always the case. There are a lot of factors that could create a situation that officers deal with, and when they respond, not jumping to that assumption that the person is impaired based on those previous factors and things. So like other agencies, you know, we deal with outside resources and sometimes the lack of those resources. What do you do? Because, you know, those family members or whoever is making that 911 call, they're out of options sometimes. So we also have limited options and resources and clearly would like to see some maybe better things happen from that standpoint.
Yeah, but I was talking about the fact that you know, basically the family basically not is simply ignoring or simply covering up or simply not getting involved in a situation of someone who's having problems and who is a potential risk to himself and to others. And you can't arrest the whole family. I mean, I don't know what you do, would you agree with that? What Kevin said, Chad?
I would. You know, it seems like a lot of people that are in a mental crisis or have mental issues due to brain injury, a mental illness, or drug use, it seems like it has fallen on the shoulders of law enforcement to help find these people the help they need. The Burlington Police Department has a CIT, Crisis Intervention Team, that receives 40 hours of training to be certified to deal with issues when people are in crisis. The issue is that coming out of the academy, they don't get a lot of mental health training. So it falls on the department to find the training for them. I hear there's a chance that may be changing, where they're going to have every officer certified through the state academy. But until that happens, you know, we're not licensed mental health professionals.
Right.
And the funding for after we get involved with them and try and find them the help or get them the help they need, the funding isn't always there to make that happen.
We are seeing, and we're seeing every day. I was in Detroit this morning. A police officer went to make a stop. No, they made it was a vehicle. Just an equipment violation. Walked and shot directly and killed while making the stop. Partner was able to be there and to take care of that and to kill the person who shot him. But the war on police, I don't know. We hear that term, and I don't know if it really is a war on police, or whether it is just more violence, and is it the whole violence breeds violence type of thing? Kevin, you got a comment on that?
Yeah, well, I think what you'll see is here locally, we don't feel that. I think we feel really strong support from our community, from our community leaders, from other elected officials. They're very supportive of law enforcement. There may be some very isolated individuals, but I think that's where it all starts. When you have those community leaders that are supportive of law enforcement, that understand that we're all human beings, that mistakes may be made, but they're made with a good heart, then we can work together and we can work towards that positive change and those positive goals. I think where you see those difficult situations where it's almost encouraged, or at least law enforcement isn't supported by community leaders, that's where you're seeing this mass gun violence pop up.
Yeah.
You're seeing law enforcement that has low morale, that's not motivated to go out and do their job. But here locally, what I'll say is I feel like we have really strong support. We have good leadership, and the community is very supportive of the job that we're out here doing.
Our Chief of Police, Mark Denny, from the Burlington Police Department, was operating, I believe, New Mexico, but he was also operating for extensive periods of time, both in Portland and Seattle. I asked him point blank, I said, are you glad you're not in Portland and Seattle anymore? And he said, yes, very much so. We talk about recruitment. We talk about recruitment, and I know that one of the things we're facing, and I know particularly at the Burlington Police Department, let's face it, you've got a lot of officers that are getting closer and closer to retirement.
Yes, we do, and kind of piggyback on what the sheriff said, we have a serious dilemma when it comes to being able to hire people. I don't know if it's necessarily the negative press that law enforcement has been getting as of late, but the number of applicants that apply for the job when we have testing is way down. And we're struggling to find a qualified, good applicants.
And I guess, so what do you do? Mark came here from a much larger department out in the, to become the police chief here. Do you recruit from, it would seem like you'd have the best thing to do would be to recruit nationwide and to do what you have to do to get people to say, come to Iowa, come to Burlington, where you're not going to be in the same situation that you're in right now. I know that one of the things that has been at least talked about is that a lot of these major departments, one, they've had to be facing a decline in spending, funding for those departments, but they're also facing the fact is that they have, they're facing the same thing that, the lack of applicants, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you don't have enough applicants, your standards are going to be changing, or at least potentially changing standards of what you require for a police officer.
So I just read an article the other day, and I don't remember what agency it was, but they were sending a team of officers to recruit people in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
To come here to be police officers.
So what, and I know we talked about this, Jason, you said, hey, you recruit directly off the, from the departments, all of you from these guys.
Yeah, and they're both looking at me right now, I'm sure, with that. Thanks for reminding them of that, Steve. Appreciate that. Unfortunately, we have had to, roll a couple of certified academies out at the state level here in recent years, and that's something that never used to occur. and that does create hardships. I hope it's not hard feelings, but I get that. And, you know, we would rather also do the same traditional recruiting methods. But as Sergeant mentioned, I don't know if those traditional recruiting methods are as near effective
right.
as they used to be.
Well, you know, the other thing we're now facing is that a lot of these colleges, universities used to have fairly large law enforcement degrees, and in terms of understanding public safety degrees, those departments have either evaporated or they're very much smaller now than they were. So that sort of breeds a part of the problem, doesn't it, Kevin? I mean, Jason?
It can, and certainly we look at other challenges. You know, when you see businesses and industry that give options of sign-on bonuses and things of that nature, we don't have those in law enforcement traditionally. I can promise you there's not a work-from-home option. We're going to work weekends and holidays. And matter of fact, you're probably going to work harder on weekends, holidays, and second and third shifts sometimes. That's just the nature of this particular career. But what we do provide is, you know, fundamental good pay, good benefits, things of that, great retirements for the vast
right.
majority of Iowa law enforcement officials. And when you're a new hire, you're not always thinking about the end game. So you got to sell some of those things early on with that big picture in mind. We just need a few more that would be willing to maybe listen to that presentation.
We've had various officers here, and we've had officers who have said directly or indirectly that you know, they'd have a hard time recommending to their son or daughter to go into police work, and simply because of the nature of the way things are and the way things have changed over the course of time. I don't know if that's true necessarily in your individual cases, but
there can be difficulties. But in the end, what it is you can also be a part of something great. I mean,
yeah.
we can do some really amazing things. You're looking for that personal satisfaction,
right.
to that self-fulfillment. You can really help people. You can do great things for your community. It's very rewarding. And what I'll say is, it's not all about money. I mean,
right.
you'll see some of these areas that don't have that community support, that have maybe it's city councils that just aren't supportive of their law enforcement and their leaders, and you're seeing them who pay much more than what we pay here locally, and they're losing law enforcement officers. They're leaving because they don't feel that support. But we can offer an environment where they're part of something amazing, where they're part of something great, and they can have a role in that. So that's, I think, the big thing, the message that we're trying to send is that we're supportive, that we have a good team here,
right.
and that you can be a part of that.
So, all right, so if Jason's going to be picking and choosing off of the other departments, Where do you look? Do you look for? Are you looking to recruit? Are you looking to expand? Have you talked about, or is that something you guys are looking at, both of you, to look expanding your geographical area that you're recruiting from?
We have. We recently went to a job fair at Macomb at the
right.
The university there, and I talked to one of the law enforcement instructors, and he said the numbers of students going into law enforcement is down. So this is not an issue that's unique to this area.
Yeah.
It's happening all over the nation. And when that occurs, agencies start looking for quality officers in other departments. And that happens. It's the nature of the beast.
So you've got to expand your geographical area for police. You're expanding, I'm guessing. I think you said you've had fairly good success in terms of morale, in terms of all the things with the police, with the sheriff's department. But, you know, I don't know how. Are you dealing with the same type of issues? Are you dealing with a number of officers that are moving into that retirement age?
You know, we have over the last couple of years. We're really at the tail end of that. We've had to hire several, and we face those same challenges where numbers have been down. But it also, the side effect of that is you're not having the mass numbers of people who probably really aren't in it to begin with.
Yeah.
Where we used to get, say, 100 to 200 applicants, we may only get 20 now, but there are a lot, that 20 is a lot more of those committed applicant pool. So we've had some success. We continue to face those challenges. Our application deadline is actually this Friday. So if you know any good applicants, have them put in.
Okay.
Thus far, we've had success in this hiring as well.
Jason, are you recruiting? Do you recruit nationwide?
Yeah, we do. And again, we would probably draw most of our applicants from at least the Midwest, if not specifically from Iowa, you know, bordering states. I grew up in Illinois, so I would be an example of that. You know, the Midwest is unique. It's a little different. I love the Midwest. I wouldn't change it for anything. But if you're born and raised in L.A., maybe Des Moines, Iowa, or in Des Moines County, Iowa, it maybe not be your place. So we have some challenges from that standpoint.
But is it a selling point? Is Iowa being what it is?
It is for me. And again, I'm going to try to promote Midwest values, you know, great family atmosphere, community support, things of that nature. We've never seen the support in the Department of Public Safety from the legislative level in my career as good as it is now.
Well, you've got an event coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to be a part of this one for the first time ever. It's called RAGBRAI, but it's also called Iowa Nice. And I don't know if Iowa Nice is really nice, but it seems like Iowa is different than a lot of other places. And Iowa Nice really does seem to be true, and Iowa Nice is why people come back. I know at least it does for a lot of people I know that go and do the bike ride. And it's you're going to be on, in fact, you will be on the road. Will you be on all 7 days?
Yeah, looking forward to that. As you know, it's a long week, but one that does provide a lot of opportunities to kind of showcase our state and let people see the Iowa Nice factor from time to time.
We're going to take a break for news. We've got Peace Officer Day today, and we'll be talking more right after this.
This is The Herd.
Attention listeners.
With Colin Cowherd.
I just don't think Brooklyn checks boxes. I do not believe KD and Kyrie and Simmons will ever win a championship. I think it's fantasy land. It'll never happen. There's enigmatic injuries. Forget it. The mission was winning, and you did whatever it took to win games. Winning was number one. Again, with Kyrie, it's not.
This is The Herd.
Weekdays 11 to 2 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Hurry in to Mattress Firm's July 4th sale. Get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $500 on Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchase up to a $499 value. Or shop Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America, and save $500 on all Tempur-Breeze mattresses and get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Welcome to Allstate, where you can really control your savings. Because when you drive less, you save more with pay per mile. So you're really in control of your savings. Only paying for the miles you drive. Yeah, life is good when you're in the driver's seat. Allstate. Here, better protection costs a whole lot less. You're in good hands with Allstate. Click, call, or visit allstate.com to save today.
Not available in every state. Savings vary subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Norfolk, Illinois.
It's been an amazing day in southeast Iowa. First, you walked a creek in your Red Wing boots and Carhartt cargo pants. Then, you tackled yard work with your Ego cordless power mower with self-propelled touch drive and DeWalt battery-powered yard tools. Mom would be proud because you remembered to wear your Edge polarized safety eyewear. With your yard looking amazing, you invited friends over for a barbecue. You all sat around your custom-built picnic table and you fired up the Traeger pellet grill. As the daylight fades away, you hand the Bug assault guns that shoot ordinary table salt to the kids to tackle the mosquitoes. This perfect day all started at Standard of Beaverdale. When you visited their store, you were greeted with several friendly smiles and a "How can we help you today?" You received expert advice, and now you have everything you need to enjoy summer. So sit back in your new zero-gravity lawn lounge chair and smile, because you shopped Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
It's back. One of the best parts of summer, the summer concert series of the Burlington Municipal Band. And it's back at the Crapo Park Band Shell this Sunday night at 7:30. Bring your lawn chair, your family and friends, and join us for one of the best bands anywhere, the Burlington Municipal Band. This concert and the entire summer concert series is broadcast every Sunday night at 9 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, brought to you by Standard of Beaverdale. They believe in tradition and supporting local businesses, proudly supporting the summer concert series for over a decade.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty. The Iowa Army Ammunition Plant Restoration Advisory Board is scheduled to meet at 9 a.m. Tuesday, July 19th in the Council Chambers of West Burlington City Hall. The general public will have the opportunity to ask questions and voice concerns about the plant's environmental cleanup process. Discussion topics include current cleanup projects and the installation restoration program. For more information, visit IAAAPRestoration.com. With construction projects well underway, the Fort Madison Community School District has announced a groundbreaking ceremony. The ceremony will take place on Tuesday, July 12th, to celebrate upcoming improvements to Fort Madison Middle School and High School. The ceremony begins at 9 a.m. at Fort Madison High School and resumes at the middle school at 9:45 a.m. with a reception to follow in the middle school cafeteria. This is a public event and the community is invited. A former Eastern Iowa mental health counselor has been sentenced to over 11 years in prison for seeking a romantic relationship with a 14-year-old student. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
46-year-old Miranda Breeden was a mental health therapist and licensed independent social worker. She worked at the Alternative Education Center in Cedar Rapids, and court records show she bought the student a gun, had sex with the student in hotel rooms, her vehicle, and even her locked office during school hours. She also smoked marijuana with a student and another minor. This all happened while Breeden was assigned to be the student's therapist. The federal judge who sentenced Breeden called her behavior horribly egregious.
U.S. pharmacists can now prescribe the leading COVID-19 pill directly to patients. The Food and Drug Administration said Wednesday that pharmacists can begin screening patients to see if they're eligible and then prescribe Pfizer's drug Paxlovid. Previously, only doctors could prescribe it. Paxlovid has been shown to curb the worst effects of COVID-19, but it has to be started within 5 days of symptoms. Paxlovid is intended for people with COVID-19 who are more likely to become seriously ill. From the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. American basketball star Brittany Griner pleads guilty in a Russian court to drug possession and smuggling charges, telling the court through a translator there was no intent. I didn't want to break the law. In the U.S., meanwhile, Griner's family members continue pushing for her return.
How I feel today is a deeper emotion than hurt. I'm frustrated.
That was Griner's wife, Sherelle, at a rally in Phoenix last night. The father of Robert Cremo III sponsored his application for a gun permit, but the parents of the suspect in the July 4th parade shooting in Illinois deny they did anything wrong.
An attorney for the suspect's parents tells us no one thought there was any issue, including the police. I think everybody across the board missed whatever warning signs were there. The police, the teachers, the friends, the family.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Flood watch until noon today with showers, thunderstorms 70% likely and heavy rain possible. Mainly this morning, a high today around 80, mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms 80% likely tonight, a low down to 70. Mostly cloudy Friday. Showers and thunderstorms 60% likely, mainly before 1 p.m. and a high to 83. Mostly cloudy Friday night, a low down to 64. Sunny Saturday, 84. Sunny Sunday, 84. And right now, with rain, we have 73 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. We've got some green on the screen on Wall Street this morning after yesterday's impressive turnaround for stocks. The S&P 500 index is aiming for a fourth straight day of gains. Investors are thirsty for signs of stability in the markets after the worst first half for stocks in more than 50 years, which plunged that S&P 500 index into a bear market. Prices at the pump continue to drop, and gas futures are falling today, which could mean even more relief for drivers. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular this morning hit $4.75. That's down 26 cents a gallon from the record high back on June 14th. More people than expected applied for unemployment benefits last week. The numbers, though, slightly higher than the pre-pandemic 2019 weekly average. We get the big jobs report from the Labor Department tomorrow morning. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to get conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
Babbel's interactive lessons are created by real language teachers and voiced by real native speakers using a modern conversation-based method. So in no time, you'll be speaking confidently about real-life topics in another language.
Nosotras vamos a México en dos días y ahora hablamos español.
Gracias, Babbel.
Sí, muchas gracias.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
It's been an amazing day in Southeast Iowa. First, you walked a creek in your Red Wing boots and Carhartt cargo pants. Then you tackled yard work with your Ego cordless power mower with self-propelled touch drive and DeWalt battery-powered yard tools. Mom would be proud because you remembered to wear your Edge polarized safety eyewear. With your yard looking amazing, you invited friends over for a barbecue. You all sat around your custom-built picnic table and you fired up the Traeger pellet grill. As the daylight fades away, you hand the Bug assault guns that shoot ordinary table salt to the kids to tackle the mosquitoes. This perfect day all started at Standard of Beaverdale. When you visited their store, you were greeted with several friendly smiles and a "How can we help you today?" You received expert advice, and now you have everything you need to enjoy summer. So sit back in your new zero-gravity lawn lounge chair and smile, because you shopped Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
When there's a change in the weather,
it's horrible out here,
and you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it can be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and online at KBUR.com.
And again, it is Peace Officer Day today. A long time ago, we used to call this the Cop Show. And an officer with the Burlington Police Department by the name of Eddie Marsh said, you know, Cop Show really isn't the right way to call this. It's not fair to call it a cop show. He said, We are law enforcement. We are peace officers. And from that point on, we called it the Peace Officers Show, thanks to Eddie Marsh. I still see Eddie every now and then out at Flint Hills. But it's, Eddie was a longtime member of the panel. You look at all the Sergeant Steve Parker from the Sheriff's Office. And we used to have representatives from the Illinois State Patrol, or Illinois State Police, Iowa State Patrol. In fact, we had sometimes more officers in there. And I don't know how many, I think we had 9 officers at one time in that studio at one time doing it. But we've got Kevin Glendenning, he's the sheriff of Des Moines County. Jason Marlowe, he's been a longtime member of the panel. In fact, you're the senior member of the panel. How's that say?
That makes me feel great, Steve. Thanks.
Chad Zahn is representing Burlington Police Department. We're just talking about, and I think one of the things, Kevin, you just talked about the fact that we were talking about recruiting. In fact, morale in some of these areas for police officers, morale means everything, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It goes back to what we were talking about before. Quality of life isn't just about money, and you can only throw money at so many things by increasing wages, by increasing what they're going to make. People want they want to be a part of something. They want to be wanted. And when you have that community support from your law enforcement leaders and your city councils, your boards of supervisors, then that means everything. And we're seeing law enforcement officers that are actually, they're researching that. They're looking into it. It's not just about what that wage is going to be anymore. They want to be supported by the community. And that's one of the biggest things. That's why we work so hard in it. I know Burlington, the State Patrol, and the Sheriff's Office, we all work really hard to engage the community, to find that support, to have that level of understanding so that we can have community support and bring in those officers.
You know, I will say one thing. 4th of July weekend, normally where I live, I see a lot of fireworks all over one side of the town because I live basically going out in by in back of the Bees Park, basically across at the railroad tracks in the ravine there. Back where the police chief of Burlington used to live there, Dan Lutnegger. But anyway, But, so but I didn't see as many this year as I have seen in the past. I don't know if that was just, I don't know if the law enforcement had anything to do with that or whether it just is getting, it's getting a little less, not quite as enthusiastic as the number of people that want to shoot off firework displays. I don't know. Did you have any feeling on that, Chad? You were out and about, I'm sure.
I talked to several law enforcement officers that worked the night shift for Burlington, and they said there was no lull. They were very busy.
Okay. All right. We're talking about one of the things we talked about. You talked about UTV, and you talked about the fact that UTVs are now, except for those counties where it has been outlawed or there's been a specific where there's been a specific law or specific ordinance that is passed within a city or a county, the UTVs or the 2x2s or whatever, four wheels, they are legal, but I think what, maximum speed is 35 miles an hour, is that right?
Right, that's one of the things. And then I want to touch on a couple other components of that. One of those additional requirements that this law is going to require is the operation of a headlight at all times. So it's going to be similar to what you would see on a motorcycle. I think our law is 1976 or newer for motorcycles, have to have their headlight on during the daytime, evening times, whenever that vehicle is in motion. That is going to apply to these side-by-sides. This is not going to change anything with our farm-related use of this vehicle. That's
right.
Something that's been in law for a long time. This is going to be what I think is purely recreational. I would also remind those that are using that particular vehicle as their mode of transportation that all other applicable 321 laws apply. That would include open container. That would include OWI. That is a motorized vehicle. And from time to time, my travels have seen some of those vehicles that maybe have more than a bale of straw in the back of them as they're traveling in and around. So just want to remind everyone as they operate those vehicles that none of that's going to change. Do it safely. Make sure you're designating a sober driver.
You know, we were talking about RAGBRAI. One of the things I've noticed more often than not, I'm driving to work far before dawn. Okay, it's dark. It is absolutely dark, and I'm surprised how many times and especially now in the warm weather, how many times I see somebody riding a bicycle, no reflectors, wearing dark clothing, and sometimes riding against traffic. It's like and no lights, no flashers, nothing. It just seems there is no ordinance on having a light on a bicycle. But boy, if there is if there isn't, I think there ought to be.
There is.
There is. Okay.
They're required to have a headlight. They have to obey the same rules of the road. They have to ride with traffic. They have to stop at stop signs.
Headlight and a tail light, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, actually. Although somebody said, now I've had it said, if you're seeing these happening, these are typically people that are not necessarily up to the welfare of the people. They may be potentially committing crimes. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know we've got one of our guys that works here, also delivers papers. He just happened to be walking in, as a matter of fact. But anyway, we're talking about the fact that, you see this situation, and it's, on a bicycle, you're in a different situation. You can duck behind stuff and get out of stuff. I don't know whether there's a link on crime like that. Chad, is there? Is there something that you can illuminate, so to speak?
There's nothing that I can really point to, but somebody that's out riding after dark and they don't have any reflectors or a headlight or a taillight, my opinion is they don't want to be seen.
And that would be my opinion, too.
You know, so that's somebody that we would want to check out. There's a reason why they don't want to be seen.
All right.
You know, they're risking their safety by not having those safety devices on their bicycle.
All right, we talked about that, but I think the other thing is, and I think as we look at, one of the things you mentioned UTVs, boating. It was a big boating weekend, too, and it's going to be probably big boating weekends as long as the weather stays nice. And I guess what you have, how often are you out on the river pretty much? Or is there somebody out on the river pretty much every weekend, Kevin?
I wouldn't say every weekend, but that's the goal. We're out during the busier times. We're out during 4th of July weekend a couple days. We're not a 24/7 boat patrol operation.
Right.
But we are out there just doing some safety checks, law enforcement-wise, and then to any incidents that occur on the river, we will respond to those as well.
I don't have we had any incidents out on the river, as far as you know?
You know, some very close calls. We've responded to some calls out there. No major incidents this year. The big thing is we're just trying to remind people. To be safe, to go out, be prepared, do safety checks of your boat, make sure your kids have their life jackets on, not just in the boat, but on when you're moving, and have all that safety equipment in line.
Okay. On a nicer area, we've got, there is happening, on August 2nd, I believe, is National Night Out.
That's right.
This would be a night out to bid crime adieu. Now, what's going on? What's going on, Chad? Is this going to be going on down at the Port Building?
It's going to be in the parking lot south of the Memorial Auditorium.
Okay.
From 6 to 8.
Okay. And there'll be officers there. I'm going to guess this is all law enforcement. I'm guessing it will be fire as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. We have the police department, the Burlington Police Department, the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office, and the Des Moines County Attorney's Office. We'll all be there, I think.
I'll be there as well.
There we go. See, I got to hold him
confirmed.
To it.
Confirmed.
I
yeah.
tend to think McGruff the crime dog may make an appearance, too.
I've talked to him. I think he's going to be there.
All right. He's made over 6,500 appearances as McGruff the crime dog. He is the national voice of McGruff. They haven't done a lot of new ads, but he is the national voice. And, of course, we're talking... the alter ego, McGruff, the crime dog of Sergeant Steve Parker. So crime, take a bite out of crime, has been around a very, very, very long time. As we look at it, we also have a canine. There's a canine golf outing that is raising money for the canine program. Kevin, when is that happening?
Well, I'm looking that up as we speak. I put it in my calendar, but I can't recall the exact date. Chad, do you remember that
date? I think it's the 24th of September.
24th of September. Yeah, that's accurate. So we have the canine golf outing, and that's at Flint Hills Golf Tournament. I believe it's – or golf course. I believe it's a shotgun start at 10 a.m., like a four-person best ball.
Yeah.
So get signed up for that. Reach out to a member of the Burlington Police Department or the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office. Our canine handlers or really any member could put you into contact. But we appreciate the community support. Without the community support, we wouldn't have these programs.
Is it one canine that you have, or is that do you have one canine for the department? Is that right?
The Burlington Police Department has one, and the Sheriff's Department has one.
All right, canine department. Do you have any dogs, by the way, in the Iowa State Patrol?
None in our district, but we have increased our canine use here over the last few years. Several handlers throughout the state. Primarily in and around the interstate system itself. So if you have a district that has an interstate that runs through it, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Council Bluffs, has a presence of those canine officers.
One of the things I was watching, two things about, it was law enforcement, but it was in larger departments, but it was using drones and also using robotics to investigate areas where you don't want to risk an officer going into some place. Is that being used anywhere around here?
So I want people to hear me clearly when I say this. Our drone program on the state patrol is used primarily for crash investigation and the reconstruction of that. I'm not a drone pilot, so I'm not sure that we're using them currently in any surveillance areas. Although I could see how that maybe is a handy tool for specific.
It certainly would seem for a very large, if you've got an event that's a very large crowded event, maybe Iowa State Patrol or not Iowa State, Iowa State Fair or something like that, an event that you want to kind of, as I said, particularly if there's some potential problems that are
Well, not out. Like any other place, but I can assure you that if you're on the Iowa State Fairgrounds and in more places than not, you're probably going to be on a camera. and there's probably going to be somebody watching that, and you may or may not see that drone or the presence of that particular
All right, we're going to talk
recording
some more.
Device.
We've got more to come right after this.
This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe.
We're getting back into it.
20 of 24 civil lawsuits against Watson have been settled. That, according to Tony Busby, who's the lawyer representing the women, you know, for somebody who, you know, has been adamant they're innocent.
These last four, the way it hit me was, those are the four.
Those are the dicey ones.
Those are the four.
Yeah.
Two pros, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and a cup of Joe, Jonas Knox.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 8 on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Gardens, but those hot and humid days can be rough on you and your air conditioner. If your air conditioner is having trouble keeping up and keeping your house cool, give me a call. We'll work on any brand of air conditioner and we'll make adjustments to get it running smoothly. And if you need a whole new unit, we'll install a brand new Amana high efficiency air conditioner. This will ensure your house will stay cool and will help with your utility bill. Now's a good time to upgrade, as local utility companies are offering rebates up to $780. For consistent temperatures in your home all year round, give us a call. Jerns Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer, serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois, with 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
I love hearing and learning about technology from you, and I love your one-liners. I love the dry sense of humor, and I think I'm hooked.
You know what it is? It's just trying to lighten it all up, because, you know, sometimes when people talk about technology, you heard it, Judy. It's like Intel Core 5 processor, and you're like, oh my gosh, how boring is that?
Kim Komando, Sundays from 11 till 2 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Welcome back. Peace Officer Show. Down to the last few minutes, we were talking with all of our officers during the break about technology, how much it's changed the way law enforcement operates, but also the way people can operate and can be much more security conscious than they used to be. And making use of that technology, we're talking about the fact that it's going to get better. It's only going to get better. Kevin, I don't know how much technology you use or what the newest technology is going on in the Sheriff's Department. I don't know. Do you have drones that you use or not?
You know, we have a drone, but it's more for like an oversight purpose if we need to look at a scene or something like that. We try not to put it up over crowds. People tend to not be overly comfortable with that.
Right.
But as far as technology, for instance, we're looking at moving to some camera systems that they can track people, they can track certain vehicles. So our whether it's facial recognition or a person in a certain color shirt, you don't have to search through the camera system to find somebody or track somebody. You can actually identify them at one point and then track them through the system. It's going to be a huge benefit for us.
And again, I guess, you know, one of the things we talk about also, we were talking about violence and we're talking about some of these things that happen, and the people that commit these violent crimes, but who will go on social media and may have a long string of social media posts on it, and it would seem that somebody would be able to monitor something and get some word out, but I don't know. I guess how can you use social media? I don't know. How much do you use social media, or does somebody look Facebook or try to track some of these things, Chad, for a police department?
So we use social media, but it's more for getting our message out to the community. I know that we've had investigations where we've used social media and went on people's social media pages to find out if they were involved in some criminal activity, but mostly that occurs when somebody calls us and says, "Hey, I saw on so and so's social media page that they were saying this." Then we will go on to
how helpful is Crime Stoppers to you?
Very helpful. Very helpful.
Kevin, same story?
Yeah, it's just engaging the community. If they see something, say something, help us out, and they want to be a part of that. So it's been a huge, huge benefit.
Jason, is there a statewide Crime Stoppers?
Yeah, we have a tip line, and we would encourage people, again, if you see something, say something.
All right. Jason Marlowe, Iowa State Patrol. Chad Zahn, Sergeant Chad Zahn of the Burlington Police Department, and the Sheriff of Des Moines County, Kevin Glendening. Thank you all for being with me. Have a great, great month.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.